You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Gene
Johnson.
The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's Justified After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Justified After Show.
All right, welcome everybody. Thank you for joining us. Bing is for doing, and we are here doing another AfterBuzz TV after show for Justified, Season 4, Episode 7, Money Trap. I'm your host, John Comerford, and I'm joined in the studio by Tamara Berg.
Hey, everybody.
That's very nice, Tamara.
Thank you.
Good to see you. And by the way, thank you very much for so ably handling it last week when I wasn't available to be here.
No worries.
And also with us is Joe Braswell.
Howdy.
And Steve Bottomley.
Hello.
And helming the booth is Marissa Serafini. Marissa, say hello to everybody.
Hello, everyone.
Okay. All right, so we saw a Southern swing party today, which we thought was very interesting. We also saw Raylan get, well, let's say he was questioning whether or not he could read women in this particular episode with Jackie.
Sure.
And but I want to start out with his an old friend came back to the show, at least from the first episode. It was the first episode of this season. Jody back, the fugitive. We got to see what happened there after he was arrested, thrown in a trunk, and finally given up to Sharon Evans, the bounty hunter. So let's start there. There's the jumping off point. So it was good to see him back. We always liked him.
Like
work
Chris
there.
Chalk, yeah.
Yeah, Chris Chalk is always good.
He's always good.
Yeah.
He can get back to the newsroom now.
I don't think he'll be coming back.
Justified. His arc is complete.
Not coming back to Homeland either.
Everywhere he works, he gets killed.
He's good at getting his nine. Hopefully he doesn't die in the newsroom.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we wouldn't think so. But I thought that was, you know, first of all, they didn't do a lot of character development, didn't need to because he was so there. But I liked that this guy, I liked seeing him on the screen. He was fun. This character was great.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, quippy, but lots of fun.
I felt that both of them were sort of a very Elmore Leonard-ish
odd pairing.
Yeah, the odd pairing with the movie director and then the fugitive and they're comedic back and forth and they're making a movie and the guy is kind of a buffoon but he's funny. Very, very Get Shorty-ish. Very, remind me something very much of that book and the movie, of course. That was sort of the fun side of Elmore Leonard. And I noticed there was a story by credit Elmore Leonard.
Yes.
So I felt like it wasn't in the normal sort of fire in the hole. Yeah. So I wonder if he really had anything to do with this storyline.
I was wondering the same thing.
Felt the Leonard stuff happening in this one.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. He did have a credit in that. I was really invested with the character, but after it was over, it was almost like...
You're wondering why.
Yeah, a little bit. It was like, okay, that was fun. Yeah. Enjoyed hanging out, but if that was an introduction to Jackie, wow, what an intro, because... nothing really happened except we lost someone that they had established, and we were introduced to two other characters, Kenneth, and Jack
by Michael Gladys.
So again, I'm kind of with you. It did feel like a Elmer Leonard sort of short story where you hang out and it's just a moment.
Right? Yeah,
but even when Raylan shoots you, you do. Die.
Yes, indeed.
The only one that hasn't is Boyd.
He got three shots off, too.
Yes. Damn.
So I don't know. I mean, maybe they did it all. Maybe it was all just to have Jackie be part of it. Maybe it was just to show Raylan crossing line because he hasn't killed anybody this season.
Sure.
Has he? I don't remember.
No, this is it.
So
in fact, I want to give Steve credit.
One body count.
Steve did accurately predict that this would happen.
Yes.
So I do want to give him his props on that.
It's one psychic ability.
Good for you. Good for
predicting
you. That's really...
Death.
Wish I could do lottery numbers, but...
No.
I'm sorry, what were you...
Just Raylan
Well, I was
killed.
Just thinking about, you know, the idea that they introduced someone a couple episodes back, he comes back in the second episode and it's gone.
Yeah.
And, you know, they do sort of do that in Justified, where you'll have a character, you'll get with them for just a short period of time, and then they will kill them off or they will go away. You know, the teenage girl.
Yep.
You know, we've seen it all through all four seasons. Yeah. But
well, Ellen May, I mean, she was supposed to be just a one-off.
Sure.
Right.
Kept bringing her back.
So. Right.
But I honestly think it was just, it was either, for me, it was a couple things. One, it was showing me, Raylan, okay, when he goes off the rails, meaning not doing his job but trying to make side jobs, it always creates more problems. And look at the problem it created this time. Someone got dead, more than one person. Two people got dead because of it.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's just adding to his anxiety about what his life, what's happening in his life, and the consequences of his actions and that kind of thing.
Right.
And to it, I think it's going to set a whole thing. I'm guessing that the whole storyline with Jackie is going to turn to something longer.
How old is she?
Yeah, I don't know. I couldn't get that, but you know,
she says she's a college student. Yeah, so 20.
We're hoping she's 21.
Yeah,
because she was going to have a beer. So
okay, there you go.
Yeah, well, I don't know what it is.
You know, Raylan is so by the book; he's not going to let her.
Oh yeah,
so
by the book.
No, you're right. Absolutely.
So I think that's just.
But I just to go off what you're saying, I really I agree. I think that we're starting to see some, you know, Raylan's going to question some of his decision making in general. Like obviously, we talked about him questioning sort of his judgment with women, with Jackie, and then. But even before that, I think after, like you said, him you know, going crossing the line and pursuing the side job. Resulting in two deaths. I think what we saw felt like we saw him at the end there. He was sort of like, "What am I doing? Like, you know, do I even know what I'm doing anymore?"
And, so well, and let's be specific, because obviously he didn't cause the death of these two people, but I think because he was involved with it and he knows Sharon, he's going to feel that, and that somehow he's going to take on that responsibility. Right. That he somehow wasn't,
which is probably why he, with no hesitation, shot Jody.
Yeah,
because it's sort of like, okay, you know,
but here's did anybody else? Okay, so let's go back to just the part where they're taking Jody away. They've got him in the van.
In the van,
In the van. And the tire gets popped out and all this other stuff. Who else was going? I don't know about you guys, but I was sitting there going, don't go out and do the trees. Do this together. Come on. Why are you slacking off?
Yeah.
And then the car pulls up and he pulls the gun and everything. And then before the guy leaves, he turns his back on the guy. I'm going, no, don't turn your back on the guy. Right. You know, and then the whole time I'm going, don't, what are you doing?
Right.
And it's driving me crazy. And I'm wondering if they did that because they know it's going to drive us crazy.
Right.
No, like, you know.
Well, they started off well. I mean, he started off sort of like, you know, he drew his gun.
Yeah, no.
He did all the right moves. Yeah. Like, oh, okay, this guy. And then, of course.
Yeah. And then.
It all goes to hell.
And maybe they do. Maybe they're toying with us because they know this is going to drive them crazy. We're going to make these things like that. And I'm just thinking they probably do. They're just driving us crazy because it's great.
It was a it just felt different this episode.
Yeah. Really different for you?
Yeah.
Overall, not in a bad way. Mm-hmm. Just in again, it felt a little bit of a throwback to season one.
Uh-huh.
Just the whole kind of episodic, you know.
Yeah.
Not because if you compare it to, it was season three with Max.
That was two.
Three was Quarrels. And this is, they do have an overlap story.
Yeah.
But each episode seems to be breaking down into its own little adventure with this overlap. So
there's a lighter. I mean, the tone in general of this season and these episodes are a lot lighter. It seems. I mean, like the Mag season was really heavy. Quarrel season was very heavy. Yeah. This is now. I'm not saying they're having fun, but this is a little lighter. I think that, you know, seeing people like Jody and the director. What's his name? I can't forget his name.
The character's name is Kenneth. If you want. Kenneth, the way Jody said it.
Like that, I mean, even Jody's whole sort of, you know, starting out, you know, healthy and then, you know, getting, he progressively got more and more beat up by the end. So by the end, he's kind of limping in the eyes and the thing. Yeah. So by the end, there's sort of a comedic tone to that. And I think the tone in general is a lot lighter.
I'm going to disagree with that. Only in very minorly. I think it's lighter in the sense that the comedy for me is more fun. But there's just some real dark stuff. And the last week with Ava and Boyd, the dark of how she was feeling about LMA before the proposal and all that other stuff. So for me, there's been some dark streaks. There's a whole undercurrent of darkness going into those parties. As much fun as we had a couple episodes ago when Raylan went to the party Rachel and, you know, they're having fun with the woman who's there and all that stuff. But beforehand, just that the culture of that was heavy on me.
cult is very dark.
Yeah, and that kind of
that storyline is getting dark.
I agree. I think there's a balance there.
I think, but it goes to the point which is I think the why we may think it's lighter sometimes is because those areas are, for me, are darker.
Well, and you know, a lot of times where we were getting the lightness was in, I would say for me, was in Raylan and his quippiness.
Yeah.
You know, and also Boyd in his ability to speak and charm people. And we haven't seen much of that this season. And, you know, I was also thinking that, you know, some of those really intense scenes that we saw in maybe season two and season three with like the Harlan Roulette and things, we kind of haven't seen much of that at all this season. And there has not been a lot of violence. Well, there's been a foot cutting.
Well, let's face it. The one scene that I can point to, like Harlan Roulette, was in the scene in the trailer with the Phoebe, who played by Stephen Tobolowsky.
Mm-hmm.
And then
he
and the guys, they're talking about, it's all fun. Mm-hmm. But you don't know that at any moment he's going to pull out a gun. In Harlan Roulette, the way that one's different is at any moment you feel all that tension and you know it's just building. They haven't done those slow burn kinds of scenes.
And I kind of miss that. I kind of do this year.
They're kind of exploring the, hey, it's all fun, da-da-da, and all of a sudden, boom!
It makes you wonder if they're leading up to that.
Like, I don't know.
This is we're at episode 6 or 7 now. So we'll see what this back half, you know, we feel like.
And I thought we were going to kind of get some of that in the hostage scene with Jody and Jackie, but it didn't last very long. It was just, boom, it was over pretty quick.
But I loved Michael Gladys in this. I thought he did a great job.
Well, he's so talented
filmmaker.
And he's so good. I love that he was a filmmaker.
He's been in Mad Men. He just played, what a wonderful, I don't even know how to describe it. Schlubby kind of filmmaker, but nut guy. I mean,
I have to know if any of the films on the wall were real.
Oh yeah.
Now I'm constantly looking in the background, seeing what little gags are throwing up back there. But
Wedding Slashers was one of them I saw.
I'm guessing it was his idea to steal the G-string off the line.
I love that moment.
But who knows? Maybe it was in the writing, or maybe it was improv. I don't know. But it was a great little moment.
Definitely a nice sort of sleazy.
And the hat he was wearing.
Even the coke, and he's doing the coke, and he's got the girl on the couch.
Yeah,
and
all that other stuff.
Character.
Wonderful character.
I did just want. One more thing about Jody, I did that, you know, in his demise, that was the most traditional Western.
Yeah, that's why
scene.
I think it was a throwback to the first season.
It was traditional, sort of.
Showdown was right there.
Yeah, all up to, like, you know, him walking the saloon, telling the, you know, the barkeep, clear the room, and you know, just like an old Western, and it's just two of them there, and they stand up and do the showdown. It was, you know, it was extreme, all the Western tropes there.
Not that I could really get in the psychology of Jody, but what was he thinking? Did he really think he was going to pull?
No, I think it was death by cop. I think so. He knew that he was going to go up for the killing of two bounty hunters.
Yeah.
And
he's already injured. I'm not going to get
the crap kicked out of him.
He thought he could pull a gun faster than a professional
with a busted hand with hidden
exactly.
One
and he'd already
eye,
been
busted
up against
hand.
Him.
You know.
Yeah. So who knows?
I think Raylan was happy he did pull.
Because it made it justified.
Raylan is itching.
Exactly. He's been itching the whole season.
He's like Dexter with a badge. He's like, I just gotta kill. Which is how they shopped it. No.
They did the badge?
Again.
Yeah.
I'm off the reservation.
Come on back.
Here we go.
All right. Well, we did lead us to our
iTunes. We want to thank you all out there for supporting us by downloading us on iTunes. How many shows are we doing at AfterBuzz?
60?
Is it
60?
Yeah, like 50 to 60
shows every single week. Millions of downloads.
Millions.
And what really helps us out is when you rate and when you comment the shows, especially, you know,
be kind.
Ratings. We like the high ratings. And we do read the comments. So if you can remember, there are humans behind these shows. No, I'm just kidding. But we really appreciate when you rate and comment. It helps us out. Please tell a friend and keep downloading those AfterBuzz shows on iTunes. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Tamara. Now, let's talk about Jackie, because I thought that was an interesting. Last time we had a love interest for Raylan. Well, first of all, Sharon was a previous one, and she ended up dying in this episode.
I slipped with her once.
Exactly. He would share that with her right away. He was quite friendly with Jackie right away, giving that kind of information, which I thought was very interesting.
Yes.
Well, she is hot. There's that.
Yeah, she's that. But he also knew his judgment could not be counted upon.
Yeah.
Right.
He knew that himself, because obviously he's still kind of reeling from how Lindsay took him in his eyes.
Yes.
Right?
So, you know, and he knows something's up. I mean, he knows the whole thing. He eventually figures out there's money in the bag. You know, he knows that the whole thing's going on.
Right. Well, two things. I hope that they're legitimate about Jackie being a really good poker player and being able to read people.
Right.
Because I think that's such a good move to put that against Raylan.
Yes. Yeah.
Who, right. You know, and I hope they play it out. I hope they, because they started.
Yeah, they did.
She already has one of his tells.
Yeah.
And he used it later
with Arlo.
With Arlo.
Yeah.
So I thought it was really, really just a smart move to have her paired up with him. And
yeah, Jackie Nevada, dad's name is Reno.
Reno.
Right. Yeah. All this stuff Reno in Nevada. There.
So what do we think happened in the hotel room?
Yeah,
there?
did he stick around? Because they cut away. They absolutely cut away, and they went right to the
well,
prison.
Well, she took
did
a shower.
Yeah, she took a shower.
Absolutely. She got clean.
Yeah.
And then he slept on the couch, and she went to bed. Yeah.
But it almost, I mean.
That's what he said he was
obviously
going to do.
Obviously, in the editing, they made it look like he left and went to the prison to visit his father.
Right.
Right.
So,
but it could have been the next day.
It could have been the next day. It could have been. But right. I thought it was interesting that they chose not to show us.
That's very true. But he did say he'd be back in the morning. He told that too.
But that's what I'm saying. That's why I find it interesting, because he said that. But they wanted us to believe, or at least some of us to believe, that he left right then. Because are we supposed to think that he's turned over a new leaf here and he's not going to do this? He's not going to go down the road he did before because of the Lindsay thing?
Well,
or, you know, I guess we'll find out next week and all. But I find that interesting that they didn't reveal that today. They wanted us to keep thinking.
He took off his hat.
Well, he also made, you know, referenced you know, an age difference, which was kind of surprising.
Was she one of an old guy like me, or she's one of an old guy like me?
Right. Even though, you know, Art knew he was just talking.
She in love with you yet?
The reason why I asked that question is this: Raylan also, when he's chasing Jody, and Jody ends up flying out of that balcony window and landing on the car and the whole thing.
Yeah.
When Raylan has a shot, he doesn't take it. There's such restraint there because. Why else not take the shot? Now, Steve, you mentioned that, he didn't know who was in the car. Maybe somebody else is in it. But even Raylan, the Raylan that I've known so far would have taken the shot.
Somewhere in the car. Maybe try to shoot a tire.
That's what I mean.
Something. Yeah.
And the way they showed it, the way they filmed it, is like he had time to do that.
Yes.
But he didn't.
Right.
And I'm wondering, okay, does that mean there's something else going on there? And clearly he wanted to shoot Jody at the bar.
Right.
But he gave him his outs.
Yeah,
and I don't know if it's a setup or if it's them kind of exploring this alternate justified world that they this season seems we're going to go ahead and hang this long search, and underneath that we're going to just explore a little bit and break out. Now, and again, they had two very heavy but, you know, well received seasons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so you can't blame them for wanting to kind of just let's take a deep breath and let's just kind of, you know, refigure out what this is.
Well, they've always, you know, Graham said he wanted to reboot it, basically. He didn't want to do the same, you know, because they did Mags, they did Quarles, which was a whole season about these ones.
Right.
He wanted
to
do something different, which is why they brought the mystery in, which is great, because now it does allow them whole new avenues to explore.
Not one central villain,
but
central case.
And then, of course, you can see them bringing things together in some fashion down the road, which is great. So I think that if I was in the writer room, I'd be loving it.
Yeah.
Because then...
Yeah,
you
know,
and I'm sure the actors are loving it too.
Yeah, we talked about last week that whole instead of it's being that linear line. I talked about how it's sort of like a pool rippling out the story. The story, you know, it's expanding. The world's expanding, and then you know, hopefully they'll bring it all back. But I love it. Love what they're doing.
You know, just to go back a little bit about Jackie and Raylan, I have a lot of Libra in my chart. And so I can see both sides of the arguments, because I can definitely see he was so, he's so protective of the young women who he ever comes around. I could definitely see him seeing her as, you know, somebody who's not really a contemporary. But by the same token, she plays similar games, like you were saying, to him in reading people. And and so in that sense, he could see her as somebody who might be, you know, interesting to him to have a relationship
with.
And
they wrote it as if, you know, she was saying things like, I'm a female version of you.
Right.
Marshall. I mean, and who knows, she may be playing him the whole time. But as the audience, I'm going, okay, yeah, it's something going on here, all right.
The other, just one more thing. I just think also he can't resist a pretty girl.
Yeah.
I didn't
regardless
notice. Is she good looking? I didn't notice.
Yeah.
Is she, yeah. Okay.
Joe said so.
That is odd to have another good looking woman on Justified.
Crazy.
Harlan's not.
Who thunk?
They did give her the moment, too, after he shot Jody for being in the bar. Interested, we'll say.
Well, is that the word you would use?
Well, it's the word I'm using here.
Turned on. Yeah,
definitely interested. If she is playing Raylan, this is a question I'm asking. I guess if she, what's her motive? Like, what's her game?
Well, I don't know. It could be the whole time she was just doing that because she had the money, was going to get the money, and didn't want. You know, just kind of playing cool and coy because he didn't want to tip him off in any way. It could have just been that, or
maybe she knows something about.
Yeah,
Drew Thompson.
I'm hoping she's embroiled in the whole thing. I would love that to be.
That would be nice.
Again, it was kind of an interesting way to introduce her to invest that much time with Jody.
Yeah.
To, you know, and then she better be, they better use her.
I thought the most interesting way is that, it's her sister. Wait, she's white. It's a sorority sister. Did that right there? I was like, what? I mean, I'm sure they were going, okay, how do we get her in this thing?
Exactly.
Here's a quick, easy way to do it.
Yeah.
Funny.
Yeah.
How about some of the lines that they had? Jody says, I can kill that man as easy as I need a Girl Scout cookie.
Exactly. I got armed and dangerous and an asshole.
Yeah. You got all three.
All three, yeah.
Yeah.
Right on all three.
Really nice. Really nice stuff there. So, all right, well, let's move on to, I'm hoping that they're going to play that out, because it would be nice to see, because it's always great when they have that repartee between the two characters, and they're obviously and in some respects they're on equal footing, even though Jody's younger.
Right.
She does play a little bit more mature in some respects.
Jackie.
Sorry, Jackie. What was that?
Jody.
Jody's, yeah,
that's
Jackie.
That's a whole other story.
Yeah, it is. So Jackie dead.
It's a different dynamic.
Jody dead. Jackie, yeah, we're talking about Jackie. So, and, you know, she's as sharp and as quick as he is.
Yeah.
So even though she may be younger, this could be an interesting thing here. So I'm hoping they'll play that out.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, moving on. Speaking of swingers, let's move on to the swingers.
The old party.
Lots of naked extras.
But one of the funniest things for me was, speaking of naked extras, we're going to have a special segment in a little bit. So I'm going to tease that because Steve's got some more.
Steve's making naked?
I brought in all my naked extra pictures.
Speaking of naked.
Good tease, John.
From my various vacations.
Yeah.
Mm, okay.
At all your swing parties in Harlem,
County? Yeah.
All right. But so I thought it was funny that Boyd was all nervous and worried about this.
Great.
You know,
yes.
Then we get to see him. He's not in his element. And now that when he's going out of his element, we can see the frailty, his own sense of insecurity and stuff like that. Whoa, right. Good moment there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's two reasons. I think there was the whole class thing, which I want to touch on later, that's just fascinating to me.
Yeah.
But the fact that he's going up to the hill and he's going with these people, and then on top of that, it's a swinger party.
Yeah,
and
more uncomfortable
fiance
than you
is there, and they've got these horrible strawberry margaritas, and it's just he's way out of his element. But so it was nice when he got in that back room, it was kind of like, okay, you know, for a moment. I'll get back to that in a second.
Yeah.
Mm.
This is tapping on the line he had with Ava last week. In three generations, a Crowder kid is not going to
name will not mean what it means now.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And this was his moment to see this world that he's trying to get into.
Right.
And he's auditioning, and all of that nervousness and everything makes sense, which is why it's so great when they finally show who they really are.
And they turned it on.
Yeah.
And he realizes, or he will realize, that you don't get to become...
No, they're not going to let him in.
Not only that, but even if you are, you're still just as dirty.
That's what I mean. They're not going to let him in. Even if he does all this and does all that great, they're never going to let him in.
Yeah, it's a day. I mean, you guys, of all people, you should know, you're doing Downton Abbey, but it's a very... The class thing was just fascinating to me. I love the idea of, you know, I mean, in one respect, you know, as a California guy, I'm like, oh, these, you know, hillbillies out in Kentucky, but, you know, even to them, it's like, you know, Raylan's down in the valley, and he's down there where those guys were up on the hill, and what are you guys doing down there? There's a lot of that. And then once he finally got in that room, there was a sense of, like, you know, how do you think you do what you do? We allow that. Your dad got, your daddy got it. They all got it. We've been doing this for years. Like, you need to play ball. You're as that moment where, you know, Boyd thought he was you know, getting to be in the club and sitting with the guys and,
right.
And realizing his dream, they let him know that no, you're nowhere near us. You're down there. You always will be down there. Your dad was down there. We just need you to kill somebody like you guys do. Now run along and we'll be up here and be powerful.
And we'll let you keep going.
Yeah, we'll allow you to keep doing your drugs and whatever you're doing down there in whorehouses.
To track Boyd, he's doing all of that so that he can become these people.
Right.
Yeah. And then to discover that what he's created to do that he doesn't even own.
Right.
To find out that
you're, exactly.
That doesn't even belong to you.
Yeah.
So all of that stuff has got to be a slow burn. Yeah. That's got to come to a head at some point, and when it does,
I love it. I love it because I think he's got. I think it.
I thought it was great.
Lets the leash off, man. I think he's just going to go screw them up.
Exactly.
Yeah, because his reaction was there was a small reaction of like, oh, but then his reaction at that was like, f these guys. Yeah,
I think the pyrotechnics are coming out.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yes, they are.
And when he, they were, he's that one line where he's like, it's you know what that means, don't you? Like, you know, sort of correcting him.
Oh,
like,
placate. You know,
yeah, placate.
Yeah,
but then, that's a word.
But
you know.
It's great that he corrects him because
I'm not a dumb hillbilly. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But again, they're not going to see him any other way than a dumb hillbilly. And when they want him, they'll tell him what they want. And if we want you to jump, you'll jump how high? All the whole thing. It's just
So he got to be not only put in his place, but humiliated in the process.
Yes.
Where, are you kidding? You thought you were one of us? Yeah. No, we're just here because we need dirty work done.
Yeah. That's all you're good for.
Of all those characters, he is not the guy that you want to take everything away from.
I know. Exactly. What's more dangerous?
Yes.
And someone has got nothing to lose.
Which is to your point. I think that's what we've seen this whole season. We've seen this very sort of pacified, calm boy. And this very level-headed, reasonable guy. Even I think I said a couple of weeks ago that I was half rooting for him and Ava, and he's really a nice guy. I think that this may be the thing that brings the old boy back.
Well, and how better to have to get more people on his side and to root for him, how can it
take down the
bring even worse
the one
people.
Percenters?
Yeah. bring those assholes. That, it's like,
taking
them really?
Down. Yeah.
Exactly. So I mean, there you go. And they were great, weren't they?
No, they were.
I mean,
great.
Didn't you want to just throw something at the TV?
Yeah. Well, it's everything. So it's a personification of how I drew that up in my mind. It's like some back room, smoke filled,
you know, that
high leather
club,
backs. Yeah. You know, there's books in the books in the
and
wall,
all that
the
great
study,
Southern charm
the cigars,
until they. Turn it off.
The snifters of brandy. You know, it's exactly how you drew it up. It's funny.
Ava was having a hard time as well.
Yeah, well.
You know, it was, people were getting handsy and stuff. And I was like, well, now, if that were in the bar, that would not be an issue.
Yeah, because she put him in her place.
Right.
But you take him out of that element, and they just stumble.
And she did a good job.
She did do a good job.
It's just that some asshole got... Yeah. Too much.
She told him. The last guy did that, got a shotgun or whatever the line was.
And, Boyd didn't show up. I was thinking, okay, Ava's going to get physical here, which nice.
Yeah.
Because, we've seen her, remember what she can do with a frying pan.
Oh, yeah.
She can.
I forget.
And she could just knee a guy in the crotch.
Exactly.
She can.
Whoa.
I love Boyd's line, that line, which is very sort of, I'm gonna keep twisting until it pops. So you might as well enjoy it. I love that.
Then there seemed to be a rule conflict.
There was a rule conflict.
Yeah, exactly. We had two different sets of rules.
His
Sheriff
rules
Napier.
And her rules.
Sheriff Napier, only one rule. My rule. This is my house. My rules.
Right. That's
and then her rule is no means no.
Well, the question is, who did you believe? Because I believed her. I mean, it's one of the she had that very poignant speech about, the women have always had the power here.
Yeah.
And we've always been power. You know that we have the power. This is my rules and my alley. So I actually believe her.
Well, in the individual situations where the two of them ended up, those rules applied to those situations.
Oh yeah, and that's
because with Ava, no meant no.
Yeah,
she showed up, and no meant no.
Yeah, right.
And in the boardroom back room. My house, my rules.
Right. But he wasn't even. I didn't even notice. Was Napier even there?
Oh yeah,
in the back room. Okay, I wasn't sure.
No, I don't know.
The back
room.
No.
Okay, I wasn't sure.
He's not that high up.
I like that there are two sets of rules. There's only one rule. Well, wait a minute. Actually, there's two. There's probably three or four.
Yeah,
depending on what room you're in.
Yeah.
I love this. Like, Gawkers, like that whole.
Yes.
So mad.
Yes.
Gawkers.
Damn. You got busted.
We should probably move on to a special segment. We'll come back to a topic that we wanted to touch on. But let's do the special segment since it pertains to what we were just talking about.
Yeah. It does. We had a discussion off air about why a show like Justified can do this. And other
meaning
stations,
nudity,
swearing, and other exactly. stations can't. Well, the difference is commercial and cable. And the reason everything's starting to get blurred is because cable companies oftentimes package everything together. However, commercial television is still available over the air.
Right.
That means the FCC can control all those, content. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. So the difference is if you have anything with an antenna and you pick something up, that's FCC controlled. If you have to pay for it, that's cable. That's pay-per-view to a degree.
So to speak.
So to speak. And that's where an odd dance happens between the cable company and the FCC. Mm-hmm. They basically are saying, you can't touch us, so leave us alone, but we're not going to go too far because we're afraid you might want to start touching us.
So we don't want to be touched.
We will, yeah, exactly. We will
so continue, who touches the doll where?
That's yeah, what exactly. We will continually push the boundaries here.
Right.
And so the cable companies are kind of controlled by the stations themselves and by advertisers. So, if you go over the line and you start losing
you lose your,
you have the advertisers to answer to.
Exactly.
And now, you're not going to lose your advertisers unless you start losing your audience or you really offend somebody so bad.
Right.
So,
And it's easier for the cable companies because the FCC regulations are bizarre. For instance, it's all based on their vision of what they saw. Their
interpretation.
Perception. Thank you. There's no problem having a commercial television station playing Saving Private Ryan in its entirety because, according to the FCC, the swearing and the violence is, quote, essential to the artistic vision.
So that's not subjective at all.
No. However, they fined a station, a PBS station, for airing a blues documentary done by Martin Scorsese.
Okay.
Called Godfathers and Sons.
Yeah.
For profanity.
Yeah.
In a documentary about the blues. So it's an arbitrary thing, and they make their decision after the show's been aired.
Yeah.
So a lot of times the station's like going, well, what? So I know we're running a little late. So what started it off, and a little side note, you know what is not covered under the indecency policy of the FCC?
No, what's that?
Violence.
Which is why they can play Saving Private Ryan in its entirety.
You can blow someone all to hell, but don't swear while you're doing it.
You can blow someone all to hell, but you just can't blow
someone all to hell.
Is that right, Marissa? Is that clear?
Very nice, John.
The George Carlin case in 78 basically started the whole thing rolling when they decided you can't do that.
Right.
Now, through the years...
They keep pushing.
Through the years... Most of the fines have gone on to radio personality shock jocks. They're always good for
Stern.
Sure. Yeah, it's always good to get
but
some money out of them.
Television has done its fair share. I've got a few examples here. Without a Trace was a CBS show in 2003.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
They got a fine of $3.6 million.
Whoa!
Because it depicted teenage drug use and an orgy.
Wow.
Now, you know that was CBS, so you know it did not depict that as you would see it on the internet.
Yeah, right.
Probably not even the way
or
it was depicted today, because
right.
they didn't have an orgy, but they also had people in sex acts all over the place.
Yeah, it went through every legal department in CBS, and it went through everybody else, and the FCC still said, nope. NYPD Blue.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, we knew about that.
2003.
That's a famous one,
That one, for those that were filling in, that was when...
Sipowicz.
Yeah, his son walks in and her girlfriend Connie's getting in the shower and you see a little bit of all of this.
Butt.
And $1.4 million was what that butt cost.
Worth
every penny.
It was. No, but seriously, because they got such huge ratings.
Yes.
It was on the news.
A lot of times a fine is cheaper than paying for the advertising.
Yeah, yeah.
FCC got Fox for $1.2 million for a very short-lived reality show called Married by America. They pixelated a stripper at a bachelor party.
They still got fined?
And they still got fined because there was a scene of a partygoer licking the whipped cream off a nipple.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
off of a blurkled nipple.
It's a pixelated, but still, FCC will look at it and say, but if you squint your eyes.
Right.
Oh, by the way, what's on? Oh, Saving Private Ryan. Now, is that the part where he actually carries his leg? Yeah, that's okay.
Fine.
But we have a pixelated nipple over here.
Yeah. Right.
And those blues musicians.
You remember?
Oof, no.
Yeah.
You remember Nipplegate?
Yes, of course.
With Janet Jackson. Yep, that was a modest $550,000
fine.
But here's the thing. I'm going to let you guys guess which station has the all-time record for the biggest single FCC fine.
We're talking ABC, CBS, Fox?
We're talking commercial television, anything that can be picked up over the air with an antenna.
PBS.
PBS.
Yeah. You both are going with PBS?
Yeah.
No, only because I think that would be the least.
I'm going to go Fox.
Most people.
Of course we'll go Fox.
Univision.
Univision.
Here's why. Wow. Univision, when you have an FCC license, you have to have a certain amount of child programming. Yeah. It's part of the deal.
Yeah.
What they did is they did 1 hour and played that same thing over and over and over across the span of all their stations. When the FCC found out about it, they went, yeah, you and you and you. And they fined each one of those stations the same amount. So they are in... for $24 million,
wow,
as the highest fine, and then
is that
about,
recent?
Yeah, and then about a year later, they got another million for basically payola. So it's just like, dude.
Okay.
So there you go. Anyway, so to sum it up, the line is still blurring between
yes,
commercial
indeed.
And the fear is that in order for the FCC to control one side, they're going to have to step in on the other side, and the cable. Attorneys.
They don't
want that at all. It's going to be a huge legal battle.
I will say that it'll be interesting to see what happens to the FCC. And that was fascinating, by the way. But it'll be interesting to see what happens to the FCC with the proliferation of fiber optics and cable. I mean, things are really, even the broadcast networks will no longer be broadcast as that technology becomes obsolete. Mm-hmm. So what will happen to the FCC when everything is going through cables? So.
Exactly. I mean, if you're trying to just make your nut and, you know, you're going up against this and you can't show a pixelated... some point, we either make it fair over here or
as we're talking about this, maybe make your nut is really not
exactly
not the phrase.
Well, I'm sorry, I went off script.
Right here, Steve.
Wait, we're gonna get fined.
Steve, thank you for doing all that research.
No worries, it was fun.
That was really interesting.
The more you know.
The more you know.
Thank you, Marissa. Wow, I don't really know how to follow that up.
I didn't know you had that drop.
That's a good drop.
Nice.
That's a nice job. Actually, I don't know. I don't want to go anywhere else with that. I think we should end with that. Thank you very much, Marissa. I think we are going to wrap it up.
Would you want to do your predictions?
Well, yeah. Okay, let's do
predictions.
Is
that where you're headed?
Yeah.
Okay.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
All right, well, we've already talked about it somewhat, but I believe Jackie's coming back. I think she's going to be a love interest, or not, maybe not even that so much, but she will be going up against Raylan in some fashion. Not like
on the wrong side of the
ball. Yeah, but I think we're going to see a lot more of that relationship. I'm hoping we will. I would feel horrible if they set that up like that and then never paid it off or went back to that well again, because it was fun.
Yeah.
So...
I will say that I think Drew was at the party.
Oh.
And I think Boyd finds out who he is before Raylan does.
Oh, yeah. Okay, interesting.
Boyd, who was about as welcome at that party as a case of the clap.
Yes. Thank you for bringing that back,
Tamara. It's just one of the great lines I wanted to make sure we got in.
Thank you, Tamara.
We've still got the Ellen May situation hanging over our heads, and Colton, the loose cannon. Mm-hmm.
And tweaking cannon.
That's definitely going to become something that's going to be explosive and challenging for people. So there's that. And... you know, I'm really interested to see these Cloverhill folks and how that's going to be, you know, putting pressure on all sides.
Yeah.
And the class wars.
Yeah.
I think is going to be an interesting
element. Which is my prediction. I think that, like, we touched on it, but I think Boyd will definitely, whether it's the next episode or the coming episodes, figure out a way to not only outsmart the good old boy network, but also take them down. So he'll outwit them and outgun them. And my prediction is he's smart enough to use Detroit's help to do that.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
He may go outside of Raylan, outside of Harlan, to come back to bring Detroit.
Because my feeling was that once he finds out that he can only get so much money out of him, all he's going to care about is just taking him down.
Right.
I hope so.
Which would be fun.
It'll be about outsmarting.
I hope so. I'm tired of the family man Boyd. I'm tired of the new gentle Raylan.
Right.
We got to get things escalating.
I want Boyd mad, and I want Raylan pissed.
We want some escalating.
Okay, well, that'll take us to our end here while we're finishing up here, Steve, let them know where they can find you.
You can find me at Bottomly Steven on the Twitters.
On Twitter.
On Twitter.
Yeah, good.
Yes.
Me, at Joe K. Braswell on Twitter, on the following show on Monday, here on Tuesday, Americans on Wednesday, and I have a wonderful series on Grantland that drops every Thursday about Lucasfilm, Star Wars, and ILM, Grantland.com, ESPN's Grantland.com. That's all I got.
Wow, nice.
Wow, that's
you are
all.
Busy man.
Okay, Tamara.
You can find me on Twitter at Tamara Berg. That's TamaraBerg. Also, my website, TamaraCentral.com. And for those of you crafty folks, you can watch me on Home and Family tomorrow on the Hallmark Channel celebrating its 100th episode.
Yeah. Oh, 100 episodes.
You just wrapped Downton Abbey. They had over 8 million viewers for their finale, which was nice. Yes.
Indeed. That was exciting. That. Oh, and yeah, I'll be here in an hour doing Smash.
Exactly. Yes. You can find me on at AdventuresOfSerialBuddies.com for the trailer of our movie that's coming out. It's released March 8th. Trailers everywhere, and go see it. It's in selected
Los Angeles, Chicago, New York.
Yep.
So, Boston.
Boston.
But if you go to SerialBuddies.com or go to AfterBuzzTV.com and type in Serial Buddies, and it'll search that for you. And then it'll tell you where we're going to be and when. But we open March 8th. The trailer's there. We got Christopher Lloyd, Chris McDonald, Kathy Gifford, Artie Lang, a whole slew of people. Oh, Beth Bears is in it.
Beautiful Beth Bears.
You know, Maria Menounos. Steve does music in it. Tamara did costumes in it.
Yep. Everyone did something but me.
You're going to be laughing heartily when you see
I'll be
it.
Laughing heartily.
There are moments of Young John which will make you pee your pants.
All right. So I guess we've got everything in there. We want to thank you very much for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.
See you next week.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.